higher now than it was then, but some places are the same. And Golgotha is still there. The rock, the skull, you can easily see that. And walking there and being there was a very special moment to me, as was going where I went on this trip back in August the 1st. We spent a week in a place called Dubaizit, which is right near the Iranian border, as you'll see. And we walked and saw all this area that we believe is where Noah's Ark may lay under much mud, lava, and ice today. And we're going to show you that. I'd like to read a thought from, let's see, did I drop that here just now? Oh, yeah. This little piece of paper, by the way, it has a URL address. I'm going to give it to David. David, this is where you can find a little video called The World That Perished that gives you a scientific and rational reason why we believe the Noah's Ark story is real. And if you would like to look that up on your YouTube video, you're welcome to do so. We also have part of this presentation that's on YouTube. The very last slide is 2 minutes and 48 seconds. It may not show. We've had some trouble getting it show, but it's drone pictures. We took drone shots of the whole area. But there is also a URL address for that we can give David if you'd like to see it, with a little bit of music combined to sort of make it a little bit more dramatic. But if it doesn't show, at least you know where to find it. I want to read from Genesis chapter 8, the first 5 verses. I believe every word of the Bible. I believe the Old and New Testament. I believe it's inspired. I do not believe we have to apologize. It is not a parable. It is not a simile. It is not some fable. But I believe it's the truth. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed, and the rain in the heavens were restrained, and the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated, and in the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest in the mountains, notice the word mountains, plural, of Ararat. And the waters continued to abate until the 10th month. And in the 10th month, on the 1st day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. I believe that is an actual account of what happened many years ago, possibly 5,500 years ago. You say, well, did you actually see the ark up on Mount Ararat? No. After 5,500 years, would you expect to find an intact, complete boat like we would any other artifact? Anything made of wood or something of that nature would certainly not be the same as it is now as it was 55 centuries ago. So you think about that. And so what we're going to show you today is what we believe is the discovery of this area. Back in 1959, 1960, there was a pilot flying over this area, and he took a photograph. And here's what that photograph looked like. And this is what started all of the actual looking for the ark. It looked like this. He said, what is that? It looks like a boat. Well, a man called Ron Wyatt, several years later, decided to go and look at that and just see what it was. Now, he didn't stop there. He went back many times. He took pictures. He took radar readings. He took resistivity readings. They did subsurface radar readings. They had metal detectors. They actually did some probing and found some things inside. And in 1987, the government of Turkey officially recognized this as the site of Noah's Ark. They built a road for people to get there. They built a visitor center. And today it is a park, a national park in Turkey. And visitors come from all over the world to see it. They don't mind if you walk all up and down this side. And I'll show you, it's right here. Now, where is the laser pointer on this? Is there a laser pointer? Right in the middle, this one right here? There we go. You can see this is the top of the ark, and this is the bottom. Of course, it's covered up. And so we're going to say, well, that could be anything. But when they first discovered it, Turkey's top archaeologist said, it's no doubt this is a boat. And so they're right now, at this moment, the top archaeologists in all of Turkey are digging in this site. And they're going to find out conclusively what is there. It took all this time 32 years before they got permission. Now, by the way, it didn't help that some man from Nashville, I would call him an interloper, and it's not Ryan White, somebody else. He decided that he would want to get his paw in the pie, so to speak. And so he'd been holding up the thing and trying to, you know, get the courts to say, no, I want a part of this. Well, it was only this past September that he finally got out of the limelight. And so now they're actually going to be digging and finding out what's there. So now I want to take you through and show you what's there. By the way, I have some things up here I'd like you to see afterwards. These are rocks that I picked up from Mount Ararat. And many of them have a little seashell in them, as you can see right here. I'm going to pass this around. I'm going to pass it this way, and if you'll kind of make it go back around like a circle, so eventually David will be the last one. You can see how it's got the little seashells. By the way, this is not the only place on earth where on a mountain you find seashells. You'll find it in the Rockies. You'll find it in other places as well, saying to me that the earth was once fully covered by water. Now remember, this site up here is 7,500 feet above sea level. No oceans anywhere in the area. How did a huge boat get up there? A big question we'd like to answer. Now, a lot of people, of course, have tried to look in the actual Mount Ararat itself. You've probably seen videos or TV shows about people climbing up 16,000-foot Mount Ararat right here and saying, oh, it's got to be up here somewhere. By the way, the Turkish army goes up there every year and conducts exercises, their top people. They know every inch of this mountain. Had there been some ark sticking out of it, they would have found it long, long ago. But again, it's not this area. Notice it said in the mountains of Ararat, with the S on it in Genesis 4. The current site that we're going to be looking at is some 16 kilometers southeast of this actual 16,000-foot cliff. This is a picture I took myself when I was there in a village called the Village of Eight. Now, you probably heard people say, well, It was sort of stuck in the ice up there. It was broken, sticking out of the ice on this peak. They probably got it confused with stories from the ages that the alleged ark on Doomsday Mountain, which is the one we're looking at today, they said, well, it must have been that one. They said it broken and slidden downhill. Well, in 1840, there was an earthquake, but it wasn't here. It was on Doomsday Mountain. And part of the ark, or if it was the ark, did slip downhill. It was caused by the creation of this earthquake. It's even believed that the ark broke into different pieces and part of it was left up on a higher level and the rest of it was slid down and impaled itself on a rock, as we're going to see, and covered up with all that mud, lava, and ice that you saw in my first picture. Now, by the way, there are even those who claim to have seen the ark and have walked there and saw it. But, of course, what happened in 1840? The earthquake had covered it up with all that mud and lava. By the way, when was photography invented? Anybody know? 1847. Sadly, some 7 years before anybody could take a picture of it. The Civil War was one of the first wars ever photographed. And we have a lot of shots from the Civil War. But unfortunately, no pictures from that area prior to 1840. So all we have is anecdotal evidence and tales by other people. But in 1840, it seems that what happened was this area from here to here, the bow to the stern, was covered up, and it may have caused part of it to be left up here about some 1,000 yards higher up. I got to see that part too, and we'll show it to you in a minute. It may have left behind what is called a bilge keel. How many of you have seen the Ark in Kentucky? Anybody here? Okay. Does it look like a barge or does it look like carnival boats? Which does it look like in Kentucky? Is it rectangular? Is it square? Does it have an oval hull? What does it look like? Somebody tell me, the one in Kentucky. You've been there? Is it a barge? Is it rectangular? No. Does it seem to have sort of an edging to it? It should. Because no barge could withstand that kind of pressure, not even out on the oceans today. It has to have something where the water will swirl around the edges. And that's exactly what you see here. You see this area kind of like the boats we see today. And so, by the way, they even believe there were some cages that might have been seen with some of these subsurface radar readings. Now, when you come up here, you're welcome to look and see all of this imagery. It shows here that there's clearly many different kinds of timbers inside at right angles. It's not a natural phenomenon, but it's a man-made phenomenon. And all this will show you that it's believed that there are beams that come down at different angles, like that, when you go and see these things up here. Now, you can see it's way over here in the corner. It's as far over in Turkey as you can possibly go without being in Iran, or not far up there to the north, a little bit further, Azerbaijan, or just a little bit further to the south is the Azerbaijan region of Iran. But it's really on the border of about three different countries. Now, many years ago, it was unsafe to go there. When Ron White first went there, he was arrested by soldiers from the Soviet Union before Azerbaijan was a separate nation. They said, "What are you doing up here? You have no reason up here." Of course, today, Iran and Turkey have a rather tenuous border. And as I was able to walk here, I could actually see the guard stations up on top of the mountain between Turkey and Iran. And they don't want you taking pictures in that direction. Well, the one picture I did take was before they shouted at me, and I'll show it to you. And it's where I believe that the ark originally set before the earthquake pushed it downhill to its current location. There was another earthquake in 1978 that separated the sides, as we'll see in just a moment. But this is Mount Ararat, just about as far as you can go. Here's Agri. This is where we flew into. It's an international airport, by the way. And we stayed in a little village of about 79,000 people called Dubaizit. And you'll see that as we go further. This is the hotel we stayed in. It sort of has that Iranian-Persian look, doesn't it? Called the Tehran Boutique Hotel. And they were very nice to us. No one tried to rob us. No one tried to say, "What are you doing here?" Because guess what language is spoken in this area? Is it Turkish? Is it Russian? No, it's Kurdish. And by the way, which people in this part of the world are our friends? The Kurds. In fact, Nashville has the largest Kurdish population of any city in the United States. Did you know that? It's true. And so they're friendly to us because they think politically we're friendly to them. So things have changed from 40 years ago, as often happens. But this is where we stayed, this hotel. And there is the sign that says Iran. You just go down this road, down this way, and around this way, and you're there. You're almost in it. Of course, we didn't want to go there. We had no reason to be in Iran. But you can see how close we were to it. This is the little city of Dubaizit. You can see the Dubaizit, that's a little symbol of the city, one of the little city buses they run there. And here is the sign that we run across when we come up to the road that the Turks built to go up to this site. Nuhun Gabisi means, in their language, Noah's Big Ark, or Nus Ark, Noah's Ark, like this. And these are three people that you'll see, myself, Mike McPherson, and Andrew Jones in several of the pictures. Andrew, by the way, is a well-traveled man. He's traveled over 18,000 miles in this region in his lifetime and has conducted numerous tours. He worked with Ron Wyatt. He's about 43 years old, and he knows this area back and forwards. And by the way, in March, I'm going back to this area, not here, but to Saudi Arabia to look at what we believe is the real Mount Sinai, not the one in Egypt. That's called Jebel Musa. That St. Catherine's Monastery is there. For a long time, people thought that's where it's at. But the new evidence seems to show that it's in northwest Saudi Arabia because they crossed on the other side of the Red Sea, not the near side to Cairo, but the far side of the V. Instead of crossing over here, they crossed down here. And that would show a more likely reason why that would be the correct place. This is the visitor center they built. And by the way, Ron Wyatt's people, they have access to this visitor center. They can set up tables, picnics. The Turkish government have just given them almost a free hand to run it any way they want to. And we were amazed that we were able to just sort of have a free run of this. Back up. This is Ron Wyatt I was telling you about right here. He's the fellow that discovered all this. Ron died in July of 1999, 20 years ago. He had cancer, but he did all kinds of work on the Red Sea crossing, Mount Sinai, search for the Ark of the Covenant, search for Noah's Ark, some of the things he found were pretty strong. Some were perhaps, you might say are debatable. But nonetheless, a lot was found. He did subsurface radar readings on this whole mountain to see what's down below. And almost everyone that's seen it said, these are made by men. They couldn't possibly be natural phenomena. They're real things. And they believe that he's even found some cages underneath. On one occasion, they found a piece of a deer antler inside of this. And another occasion, they found some animal fur. Now, they weren't allowed to do as much as they wanted to do. In fact, even today, no one can dig there without the Turkish government's permission. But in 1960 or 61, somewhere around there, somebody blew up a piece of dynamite and blew out a hole in the side of it. And then a few years later, some other people tried to work on just one little side of the ark, but then they were told you can't do any more. So that all amounted to nothing. But it's enough there to fascinate us to wonder what in the world is under all this. And here's the official announcement, as you see. Scientists from America have confirmed that this is Noah's Ark. Mr. Ronald Eldon White and his team from USA researched the site. Test results revealed iron and fossil structures, and that's June 21st, 1987. By the way, they made a mistake on that. It's not iron. It was titanium. There's no iron there. They found rivulets, kind of like cross like that, been used to hold wood together. They found a few of these scattered out the sites. They had titanium and magnesium in it. Now, why in the world would that be there? That's not something you find normal. And it's like a little rivet that you put in a girder to hold it. And I actually saw one myself up on top of the mountain. So they put that in their collection. This is that original photo taken back in the late 50s and 60s. And it's what attracted Ron White's attention. Do you notice what the last sentence of your handout is? He said, I just wanted to do things that would make people go to heaven. Well, that's why he's doing all this. He wants people to go to heaven. That's why he got involved in all this research. Here's some of the radar scans. By the way, how big is it? Well, if you go from one end, the stern, up to the bow, it would be about 515 feet long under all that. You say, well, that's not right. 300 cubits, that would be 450. That's the wrong size. Wait a minute. What is a cubit? In England, a cubit is from here to here on a long man's arm, maybe the king's arm. But remember, Moses was trained in whose learning? The Egyptians. And an Egyptian cubit is 21 inches. So you add another sixth to that, and you would get about 515 feet. And so here's some of the various things. You can see 47 feet here, 29. At its longest point where it's splayed out, it's 138 feet. Well, you wouldn't expect it to be only, 50 cubits, only 75 feet. Because, you see, it splayed. Once it came down the mountain, it kind of splayed out like that. The lava and the mud and the ice all broke part of it apart. And there's no way to tell how deep it is because part of it was probably broken off up on top of the mountain, and the rest of it slid down. So there's no way to get a true accurate measurement from the original number of cubits as you find in the Bible. But it's very interesting and very intriguing. Go back one. Well, it wants to do this on me. I can see that. This is the Noah's Ark National Park Visitor Center that you can walk in. Now, this is not my picture. This is from the web. I didn't take this picture. But I just wanted you to see what it looked like. All right. That tells about the measurement and what Moses may have used, which we just talked about. Now, this is not it. This is a hotel nearby. And just so they can attract business, guess what they decide to build? This funny little looking thing. It doesn't look anything like the ark. But that's just to get people's attention so they would come there and, stay because they've made, it's a tourist attraction, let's face it. People fly in there to see this now. And it's not like it was 40 years ago where, no, stay off the mountain, we'll shoot you. Much, much different than it was then. This is the actual 16,000-foot Mount Ararat. It has earthquakes. It has lightning. It has ice slides. It has glaciers. Everything in the world that would prevent you from wanting to go up there. Now, if the ark did land there, all the animals would have been killed within a week trying to get off of it. So this couldn't possibly have been the actual landing site, but it's nearby, as we're going to see from these various films. There's Mike looking down on the site right there. This is it down there, and he's up here at the very edge of the visitor center. Doomsday Mountain is believed to be the ark covered in mud, ice, and lava. There is a special name for this. I kept looking for the name. I heard them use the word when I was there, and then I forgot to look it up, and now I don't know what the word is, but it's a special combination. But it was moved from way up here, about, I say 1,000 feet, that should be 1,000 yards, up here from the 1840s earthquake, came down this way and impaled itself on a rock, which is right about here in the middle. And that huge rock seems to have been the reason that it stopped. Now, the reason you see the sides here like this is because in 1978, another earthquake knocked all the sides off of it. And that's why you can see the outline. In the original aerial photo, you couldn't see the sides like that. But these sides, as you see them right here, there's a special name for it called frost wedging. Now, if you'd like to know more about the actual composition of each of these things, go to Wyatt, with two T's, museum.com and look under Noah's Ark, Modern Explorations. They will give you all the things that the radar found, the composition of the iron rivulets, what they found with regard to the timbers, how big they are, what composition they are. It gives the whole story, and you can find that. And I'm not a good enough scientist to be able to tell you today all of this just by standing before you. I can give you a basic outline, but you can find a whole lot more by going to WyattMuseum.com. Now, there's a place called the Village of Eight nearby. Why do you think it's called the Village of Eight? Anybody? That's right, because eight people were saved on the ark, weren't they? As we know, eight people. Noah, his sons, and their wives, and Mrs. Noah. Someone said they sure must have not have played cards on the ark. I said, why would that be? He says, well, Mrs. Noah sat on the deck. So I guess it would make sense, wouldn't it? Wouldn't be anybody playing. Had to get in one joke, David. At least one. But anyway, that's why it's called that. And they believe this is where Noah and his family settled after they got off the ark. By the way, there was, at the upper area that I showed you where the ark landed before it came down, there was once a stone there that said, this is the landing place of Noah's Ark. The Turkish government took it down. Now, Ron White still has pictures of that, and you may be able to find that picture somewhere on the WyattMuseum.com. But it was written, you know, that in their language that this is where the ark landed. That stone has been taken down, and my guess is it was a matter of security. They didn't want that up there. Now, there are several large ballast stones that have been found like this. They have a hole in the middle. They weigh about 8 tons apiece, and they probably were used to make sure that in different parts of the ark it was, you know, not too this way or this way, but to kind of settle it out. Ships today have ballast, don't they? Anybody that knows anything about shipping knows that you have to have equal distributized weight, even on airplanes. I've had people in these small propeller planes say, now I want you to sit on this side so it'll even out. Have you ever had anybody tell you that on a small plane? I have, yeah. So it's true. And there are also some writings on the side of these. And it's probably, as we're going to see in this next picture, similar to what you've seen on some other things. There's some writing right here. It's hard to see in this, but I took a colored crayon, and there are eight crosses on this stone. Of course, we know that the cross came many, many years after the ark, didn't it? But Christians certainly believed in the ark, and so what they did was they carved crosses on these various, there are about 16 of them. They don't all have crosses, but you can see in different places. There's one right there. There's another one over here. Here's another one over here. On this particular stone, it has eight crosses. I'm just going to let y'all look at that just a minute. Hold it for me, if you don't mind. And you know how you do that when you're trying to copy something. That's one of the ways in which you do it. There's Andrew Jones again, Mike McPherson. Mike says he's wearing his Indiana Jones hat. I says, you're not even from Indiana, Mike. Why are you wearing that stupid hat? But anyway, he got me to wear one too. So I brought an old cowboy hat and wore it, you know, like he was wearing it. We're looking through that hole in the stone, and we're looking straight up Mount Ararat here from the village of Ait through the hole right up to the top of the mountain. It's kind of a neat little shot. There we are making the crosses. You can see how they come out. There's some Turkish kids that went in on the picture. They weren't part of Andrew Jones' group. They just wanted to be in the picture. I kind of think they were looking for a little money, you know. We ended up giving them some candy, which instead of money. They just as happy with that as they were with money. So they're teenagers. And by the way, he's got on a Western T-shirt. And they also have some gravestones in the area in the Armenian language, bearing the strong belief later by Christians that this was Noah's village. And you can see it in the Armenian language here carved on these gravestones. Now, tradition holds this is the area where Noah's family built an altar, right at about this site. Now, Mike walked all the way up to it. I stood right about here. And I said, Mike, I'm a little tired. I don't think I want to walk that far up the mountain. But he did. But I took a couple of pictures. And down here, in this area right here, a grave was robbed. Some people believe that was Noah's grave. It's believed that as much as $100 million in artifacts were taken in jewelry illegally and sold on the black market. Now, Ron Wyatt found a thumb bone. That's this part right here, from here to here. That was that long. Extrapolating how big that would be, the man would be 13 feet tall. Unless he just had extremely big thumbs. What does Genesis tell us in Genesis 6? There were giants on the earth, right? I think that people were a lot bigger back then than they are now. I'm not saying how big Noah was or this is even Noah's grave. But if it is, it would be quite interesting. And at least we know that particular grave was robbed that by tradition was where his family had lived. Back one here. Turkish is official language. Of course, many speak Kurdish. And this young man had his cell phone with him, the one here on the far right here. They all have cell phones. Everybody in the world. You go to Africa, Malawi, way out in the middle of nowhere, people have cell phones. I mean, you can go anywhere in this world. I've been and people have cell phones these days. It's a worldwide phenomenon. Some of the rocks that you'll see up here, you're welcome to come and look at them. Many of them have seashells in them. They're abounding in this area, and the government doesn't mind you picking them up either. It's not a no-touch rule. In Greece, if you pick up a single rock off the Acropolis, it's a $1,000 fine, U.S. One of our friends accidentally picked up three, and he put them back because they told him if he put those in his pocket, it cost him $3,000. But here, they don't mind. You can pick up as many as you want to. It's 7,500 feet above sea level. And many of them have that rock that we saw that you're looking at, have the seashells in them. And this is one of the areas where you see them just laying all around. See the seashells embedded in them right here? The white is the seashells or the various little fossils that you'd find in them. And that's Mount Ararat in the background. They all do farming in this area. It's still a farming area. Some have tractors, some don't. And that's Molly Hickman from Las Vegas. She was on the tour. We had a very small group, only three people. And she came. And by the way, we set her up with a Bible study with the Church of Christ in Las Vegas when she get back. So she wasn't quite sure what she believed in, but she's checking the Bible out with the locals there in Las Vegas. Now this rock that Mike is sitting on, this is the rock where this sliding boat, if that's what it is, impaled itself and stuck right on this area. And it's been there ever since the 1840s. Mike is just taking a little breather. This is one of the areas right here where they did some actual digging. This is where they did the dynamite blast back in the 1960s. And this is the area where Ron found that piece of petrified wood that he believes is part of the deck flooring of this particular boat. And I'll show you a picture of that in just a moment. This is it. This is a piece taken from the interior. This is the one that he passed around to my class at Ezel Harding back in 1991. You can still see it today. It's in the possession of Mary Nell, his wife. She has since remarried to a man named Randall, and she lives in Spring Hill, Tennessee, and this piece of wood is in her home, and she keeps it as a memento of what she and her husband found. She's the one that pulled the hair out of the hole that had animal hair out of this particular area right over here that I showed you right here. All right. That's, again, we're walking right in the middle of it now. They're taking drone pictures of us. It probably is not going to work. It didn't work earlier. But the drone shots are just fascinating. Shows you the whole area, 360 degree. And if it does work, I'll be fascinated. If it doesn't, you can look it up on the YouTube and it will work for you. Go back one. 1979 earthquake separated this area here and on the other side down here from the one first seen. This is Andrew Jones sitting up here. This is his friend Nuri, and he's operating his little remote control for the drone up above that took all the pictures. Now, how do you get to the upper site where the original landing was? Only one way to go. That's by tractor. There's no road to that part. So we had to sit in the back of this tractor pulling us up a hill and to get to the original landing site. The dirt road ends and the tractor goes up on a hilly land up to the furthest known place where it could have been. This is no man's land, just over the hill from where Turkey and Iran have a common border. Any visitors are watched by optic viewers with no photos in that direction. Dubaizit, the nearest town, was one time a very dangerous place for thieves. A disrupted or disputed territory caused Ron Wyatt's arrest for trespassing near the Armenian border when it's part of the Soviet Union. And they still do farming there and sheep herding. When we got back to Nashville, guess what the first thing they did to us at immigration? They took our shoes off and sprayed them. I said, what are you doing that for? You've been walking around the pasture. You might have some dread disease. I said, well, I could have been walking around in downtown Los Angeles too with needles and who knows what else. They didn't spray your feet there, did they? Pardon my sarcasm, folks. And there's some of those sheep we saw there. I'm having a good time looking at them. They're looking at me, most likely. All right, this is the shot that I wasn't supposed to take. I personally believe that this is the place, right here, where the ark first landed before it slid downhill. Right here. Is it? I keep saying 1,000 feet. I've got to change that to 1,000 yards. I don't know why I put feet in there. But before the 1840s earthquake, it tumbled down and was covered with mud, ice, and lava. You can see right up here, see the little towers there? That's the guard towers. Over on the other side is Iran. This side is Turkey. This is no man's land right in here. Nobody goes there. If you do, they'll shoot you. You don't dare go in there. It's like the old Berlin Wall of the 1960s before they took it down. And so maybe right here. And by the way, they believe part of the bilge hole is still under feet, maybe as much as 120 by 40 feet of lumber is still under this site right here. I don't know if they'll ever get permission to dig that. Right now, nobody wants to fool with it. The government doesn't want you to have anything to do with that. Well, the sunlight here, as you can see, as the days end, what will future digs reveal? I don't know. But I'm hoping they find all the things we think it's going to find. And I believe it will help confirm, if it is the ark, that the faith we have is genuine, it's real, and it is not just a fairy tale. It's the true word of God. Well, all that traipsing around Ararat can sure cause the guy to get tired. So I took a sleep on this magic carpet. Not really, I'm standing up with that on the wall, but it looks kind of like you're sleeping, doesn't it? And these are our three again with the final picture of the ark here, the bow and the stern. I don't think this is going to work. Let's see if it does. Go one more. No, it's going to stick on us, isn't it? Okay, can we continue here? Let's see if it'll work. Hope it will. It's got a little music, folks, but don't worry, it's not worship. We're not singing in worship or playing musical instruments. But if it works, we'll see if it works. I hope it does. There you go. It may not. That's the same trouble I had. It didn't do anything. Stuck there. maybe? Is that it? It's coming now? Okay. I don't know what the... I think they deliberately do this so you'll have to subscribe to YouTube. You can't put things on a flash drive and transfer it. I understand that. That's a matter of money. I don't want to do anything illegally, but... Yeah. Anyway. Don't worry about it. Thanks anyway. Okay, well... It's there, believe me. As we end our lesson, I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 1. And then if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer what little I know, okay? Let me say again, what little I know, I'll be glad to answer. Even after I've taken the trip, there's still many questions I have. And this again is about the ark, as you know. And I believe the same God is our God today as he was back in those days. It's not two separate gods. Formerly, they did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 20. When the ark was being prepared, in which few, that is eight people, were brought to safety through water. Baptism, which now corresponds to this, now saves you. It's not the removal of dirt from the body, but it's an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, God used the ark many, many years ago as a future simile of what is happening today. Dr. Barry at Lipscomb said, a simile, you use the word as and like. Well, just as, oh, here we go. Are we getting some sound? Okay. Well, this is the drone pictures. Anyway, we'll finish this in just a minute if we get some sound out of this. Maybe not, but you can see the entire site there. We're going to wave here in just a minute. There we are. It did decide to work. I'm amazed. They really had a neat little musical thing to it, kind of dramatic, you know, like you see in motion pictures. Four little propellers on this drone, and yet it can go that far up and take such a great shot. It just amazes me what you can do with drones these days. I fear, though, that somebody will use the drone as a weapon, put a bomb on it, so I keep worrying about that. Okay. That's where the original ark came down the hill. Back this way is Mount Ararat, over our shoulder this way. Yeah, there's Mount Ararat looking from the stern backwards to the 16,000 foot peak. Okay, so there may be someone in the audience today that realizes that just as eight were saved by water, so we need to be baptized into Christ. The Bible says in Romans 6:3, know you not that so many of us as baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, that like as Christ was, risen by the glory of the Father, see, so too we also shall be also. And so by the glory of the Father, we'll be risen as well. So, you have to die with him, your old self, sin, in order that you may be born again. That's what being born again is all about. And there is water in the plant. That's God's plan. Someone needs to respond today. We surely hope you'll do that. And I guess Chris will have another song. Shall we stand?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
If you have any other further questions, if I can help answer them, I'll be glad to after service. Who has the little rock that was passed around? Who's all right, it's in the back. Okay, we know where to get it then. Great. Good to see you. Thanks for being with us. Yes, sir. All right, David.